Welcome to the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy. This is the place for everything related to Amazon private label and e-commerce. Learn exactly what you need to start or scale your business. Get insights from the top industry experts who will discuss the latest trends and best practices in the world of Amazon. From choosing products and sourcing from a supplier to setting up your Amazon account and marketing your business, you will hear it here. Let's get started. Here is your host, Vincenzo Toscano.
Hello, guys. Welcome to another episode of the E-Commerce Lab by eComsy, the place where I relate to Amazon FBA, Parallel, and e-commerce. My name is Vincenzo Toscano, founder and CEO of eComsy. And today we bring you for second time now, close friend of mine, George Maresa, founder and CEO of Clear Ads, which I would say one of the top agencies out there when it comes to helping brands scale on Amazon. And today the conversation is going to be about, you know, how Amazon has been evolving, especially when it comes to advertising. It's fun. Every single time I go back to 2014, those easy times, and I remember how PPC was compared to now, man, it's like black and white. It's completely different. Before, you could get away with just some, you know, auto campaigns, or sometimes not even advertising. Now it's completely different. Like, you really need to master advertising to have a successful, you know, journey on Amazon. So we're going to be talking about that evolution. And of course, just dive a little bit deeper about what is coming in 2025. So, George, welcome to the show. How are you doing?
I am good. Thank you so much for having me for a second time. So I must have done something right.
For sure. So, man, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much for being on the show. I guess let's start with a quick intro by yourself. For those that, you know, might not know you, tell us who is George, a little bit about Clear Ads. And then, of course, let's dive into the conversation.
Yeah, sounds good. So I'm George, the founder of Clear Ads. So the company's been going since 2011, so 14 years from January. So we specialize in helping brands with their advertising on Amazon through pay-per-click and also Amazon's demand-side platform. We now also work on kind of full-service element of Amazon too, so helping with the listings, launching images, back-end, anything to do with health as well with the account. So I kind of segued into that in the last 7 months, and that's been another area where we've seen some good growth and a real transformation on performance when it comes to advertising.
Yes, that's awesome, man. Like, you know, you're one of the OGs. I've been seeing you in this space for a while now. In fact, I remember when I was getting started, I look up to you, man, your content and everything. So, you know, I've definitely been seeing your growth. So it's great to have you on the show today. Now, let's dive a little bit more into what has been happening since then. I mean, when you started the company, Amazon PPC was completely different. I'm sure you have seen everything from A to Z, everything that happened.
Yeah.
So, go on.
Yeah. I mean, the campaigns were so basic when we first started. Yeah. So, I mean, we didn't have as much reporting access, the access to reporting data that we have now. So that's been a big benefit that we have now, more so than before. Support has improved to some degree. But yeah, I mean, the performance, you're paying pennies per click, and you were able to achieve single digit ACoS numbers.
That was crazy. I remember
campaigns, and that was kind of very common and normal. You can run auto campaigns and they would work a treat. Mm-hmm. And when you had exact match keyword targeting, they were exact match. There weren't any variations of those terms. It was exact match. So they were kind of starting points. And they were great. I mean, the returns you were getting was just uncomparable to other platforms.
Yes, I agree. I think at the same time, I know people keep going back to those times, but I know people say now, yeah, there's more competition, mine's a pay to win. But at the same time, I think that's an opportunity, because before, I'm sure you know many of them, a lot of people became successful Amazon sellers there wasn't because they were super smart, was pure luck, was pure because early to market. Now it's about you being strategic and actually launching a product that is adding value, and you essentially know how to run a business, which to some extent, I prefer that environment, because that means actually the best is going to win compared to before that. What's a matter of luck? I mean, what is your take on that?
Yeah, I mean, the barrier of entry is really a lot higher now. So, yeah, I think in the past, there was a kind of, I remember jumping on calls with people who didn't know what they were doing, and they were seeing sales just
making millions
coming in. And they just got lucky. They picked a product, and they were kind of quite fortunate with that. But yeah, now, there's a lot more sophistication to it. I mean, if you start to see success, I mean, the next big question is how can you create a moat around that success? Because there are now so many tools that can track any products that are just flying, and before you know it, you will have competitors coming in at a better rate than you. So that's kind of been a big big change.
I agree. I think as well, what I'm seeing when it comes to advertising, maybe we can talk a little bit about that, is how also I feel Amazon is starting to push advertising from being traditional only search-based to now based on behavior and essentially the journey of a customer, with things such as Amazon Marketing Cloud and DSP being a bigger push than ever from Amazon. Like, do you feel like that's where Amazon is going? Like, we're going to come into an era where it's all about how actually you identify your avatar, right, and focusing on search? Or what is your take on that? Similar to Meta, essentially, with lookalike audiences and all of that,
I mean, the audience target and all of that is great, and the amount of information and data we have access to is brilliant. I think those who really benefit from that information are those that are pushing volume, right? So they have kind of awareness campaigns go in, and they're really pushing hard. They're going to really benefit from that information. I think those who are kind of seven figures, high six figures, I mean, they really just need to focus on the product, I think, in my opinion. I think, like, these are all shiny, fancy things, but actually, we just found that those who really, really obsess about their products, they tend to do better, because if they obsess about their products, then it's more likely to get a better review. It's more likely for them to repurchase. It has such a knock-on effect. And yet, fine, if you have access to that data to show you that, but first focusing on the product. And what I've noticed a lot of now is, as well, is people who are just unaware of Amazon. They were selling their products wholesale or to other businesses. They then come onto Amazon and they see a great deal of success, because their main focus has always been the product. And actually they have the strength of having kind of a logistics foundation of knowing how to get their products outside of Amazon, FBA. So that's kind of given them a big edge. So yeah, the data is great and it's exciting, but really focusing on the product, I think, is probably one area that I see time and time again neglected. I mean, and that's the biggest difference now as well compared to before. Before you could just go and find a product from China, get it out, and then it does really, really well. Now you really have to kind of look at the ingredients, look at kind of all the features of the product and how does it differ from what's out there right now, and have kind of a real kind of edge. And then once you put ads onto them, those kind of products, then yeah, it will fly, and then everything will just have a knock-on effect in it.
Yeah. So now when it comes to this, which is very, very well said, like, I feel the same when it comes to brands that are actually having a successful journey on Amazon, especially brands that come from D2C, brands that have a big retail exposure. I don't know why, but the last 6 months, maybe you can also jump into this and see more and more interest from these brands to jump to Amazon. And what I'm also seeing is that all these brands are coming from outside of Amazon that already have a huge success outside of Amazon. They're starting to have a huge market share penetration because they have what you just mentioned. They have already an awareness. They have a good product. They have managed to, master logistics, which is sometimes where most of the profitability is gone. And now these brands that were pure Amazon-driven brands, they're having a struggle because they don't have the awareness, they don't have the expertise of being somebody else besides FBA. And I think that this era is starting to happen already, where now big brands like, corporations and all that, they have seen the potential of Amazon. And now these small brands, if they don't catch up to that, they're going to have out of time as well.
Yeah, just as another layer difficulty, doesn't it? Seeing these brands now taking Amazon as a channel seriously, because it wasn't done so in the past. Now they are jumping in. I've seen that as well. And not only do they have that brand, kind of that branding advantage that, you know, the smaller brands may not, you know, are likely to not have, but they also have
the money.
a different mindset as well. They're not really thinking about, oh, what's my return on ad spend, and what's my ACOS. They're thinking, okay, how can I maximize my market share on this platform? And like, you know, if they're gonna, they would happily reduce, you know, some of their product prices because they have a whole range of other products on different channels. That's making them enough money anyway, so they'll do that to kind of cut people out anyway. So, and this is kind of what I'm going to say. I can see happening more and more. And I think another big thing about with these brands is it doesn't matter if they're organically ranked number four or number three or number two. You know, if someone recognizes that brand and it's a household name, they're gonna click on buy and they're gonna buy. And again, I think this is where the product quality is probably going to be the only way you can really beat a brand like that. Because if you're trying to get brand awareness, I mean, they're going to have years behind them. They're going to have so much more going. But if and then if you're trying to beat them on price, I mean, $1 or $2 may not make that big of a difference with certain products. But actually, if you have a superior brand, which you're more likely to have because these bigger brands are going to be slower to move, to innovate, whereas as a smaller brand, you can very quickly find out all of the pain points of that brand just by looking at their reviews. I mean, if you go into Product Opportunity Explorer, is that what it's called?
Yes.
Yeah, yes. Go into that and it will just summarize beautifully for you all of the things wrong
with exactly
these products. And if you did that and actually worked really hard to home in and fix it, that I think would probably, well, is more likely to do more than anything else.
Yeah. And I think the beauty as well of artificial intelligence is like, now within minutes, you can extract all these data, as you mentioned, reviews, historical data, and all of that, put that into something like ChatGPT, and you will know within 5 minutes what are the things you have to improve, what are the things you have to avoid, and how to make a branding to highlight those issues. So there's no excuse now. Like before, that would take you weeks and months, but now it's like with AI, which I'm sure maybe you are seeing a lot with your clients, it's completely changing the game and the speed to market when it comes to some of these things, you know?
Yeah, and I think one of the big things that's neglected is the detail. Yeah. I mean, you can imagine, you know, there's going to be so many brands who just put a listing up, it's done, tick the box. Okay, now let me look at the data and let me look at the reports. But actually, when's the last time you really had to kind of read through all of the bullet points again and the title and then actually looked at, okay, when I actually search for my product on Amazon, what message are these other products conveying? How does this fit what I'm kind of putting out? Are every single one of my images optimized to the very best? Have I got the keywords in the back end placed properly? Am I happy with those terms? And actually, you know, chipping away in those basic details could also see you so far, go a long way.
Yeah, I agree. In fact, another thing that I have seen that is super, super important when it comes to that is that Rufus now is playing such a key role on this, that if you don't make sure that your images and your copy and the message you're conveying is effectively tapping into a specific kind of relevancy, then you're going to have also a big issue, because now it's not anymore about having the right keywords. And, you know, this is also about what is the message, your bullet points, your title, and everything you're listing is conveying to target the right avatar. And I think that's the direction Amazon is going. They want to make sure that they understand your product using AI inside out, and based on what they understand from your listing, they're recommending it to the right person, you know?
Yeah, and one of the science papers I read mentioned that actually they're putting more weight into the content provided with the reviews and the questions asked and the answers of those questions. I think Rufus is going into that as well quite a bit. So I mean, the question and answer section is a very quick way to optimize your listing and put more into that. I mean, the reviews, you know, there's not much you can do there. Again, it just comes down to just ensuring your product is to the highest quality you can make it, and constantly just auditing your product, going, okay, what can I do to improve it? How can I make it better and stand out? What added piece of value can I put that they weren't expecting that's just going to make mm-hmm. them a little bit happier? Those things, because if you can get a positive review and some more content in that aspect, that's going to, you know, that in itself can provide you with such a moment. And I think that's what I'm seeing with AI. I think when AI first came out, people thought, okay, it's going to be great with creating content for you, but now we can kind of see when something is written by AI and it's written mm-hmm. by a real people. But actually, where the strengths come in is these large learning modules. They are able to pick out which products have really gone into the detail, which products have fleshed out and have so much information behind them. And it's easier to draw those products out. So if you have everything really put well together with a particular ASIN, then yeah, it's more likely to do well. And I'm seeing again and again, brands doing north of like 6-7 million a year, and they have fantastic listings, but then there's 4 or 5 do a decent volume of sales have just been neglected. They have like 2 images or 3 images and like they haven't really got bullet points out, so there's still quite a lot of scope. And I've seen this with a lot of the big brands as well that have a vendor central account. I mean, they have they put no effort into the titles and the bullet points. Obviously they're just kind of leaning so heavily on their branding and that's getting them the sales. But again, with kind of AI's integration into Amazon, which is, again, it's been around for a while, but it's, you know, with Rufus and kind of just how mm-hmm. it's advancing, that's another way you can almost certainly get an edge, is actually yeah. using AI to create the content, but actually just reading through and going, okay, is this conveying all of the benefits of the product? How, you know, like what are they likely to get from buying this product?
Yeah.
How is it going to make them feel, and really putting that out there?
Yeah, and I think this can also be leveraged from an advertising point of view, because now what you can do with AI is, let's say, especially with things such as sponsor brands, you know that you need creatives and also DSP. Now you can proactively, by understanding your avatar, come with taglines or images that will, you know, actually tap into the emotion or the actual action of that person to buy your product, which before would require a lot of thought and years of experience. Now AI will tell you, you need to make this message, this image here and there. Yeah. So, you know, there's no excuse when it comes to that. Now, another thing I want to bring to the conversation is, with everything going on around Amazon and the fact that, you know, it's getting competitive, and at the same time, we have these big brands coming on board. The conversation now is getting more and more open when it comes to exploring other marketplaces, such as Walmart, mm-hmm. such as, you know, TikTok, such as Target, Mercado Libre, and so on. So tell us a little bit about what you've seen. Like, what are your thoughts? Like, do you feel now definitely you have to be in other channels to start, you know, spreading your risk? Or you still feel most of effort has to still go towards Amazon?
I mean, Amazon has the benefit of piggybacking on the trust that they've built over the years. So it's a good place to start. I think the benefits of going onto your own website and getting that out, like, off the ground, and actually speaking to, there's a lot of people doing really well outside of Amazon through their websites. And actually, one of the big areas that they can leverage that you can't with Amazon is having this built out email list. Mm-hmm. And when you have new products, like sending it out to the customers and actually getting the kind of a flood of sales coming in, but again, it's a lot harder, because you're not taking advantage of all the traffic that's coming in like you are from Amazon. You're having to make the traffic and build the traffic. TikTok's been interesting. I think for certain products it does really well. I think there's a lot of talk right now about just TikTok lives and people making a lot of money of just having their products live and just recording it and someone just talking about the features on it. And what's fascinating about TikTok is you do not need the followers to get the views. Something could just go viral and you might have just a few followers. So I think there's no harm in trying it. I mean, we've had one or two brands that have kind of completely run out of stock on Amazon because they've just absolutely exploded on TikTok. But it's not a cheap no. method. You know? And there's going to be a lot of giveaways that you're going to have to do to a lot of influencers. Mm-hmm. And it's a lot more legwork as well, just to kind of create content, making sure that it's of a good quality. But I mean, there's resources out there. But yeah, I would always advise, you know, go into the other platforms and see how your product pans out on there.
Good. Now, when it comes to influencer market, just to piggyback a little bit on that, which to some extent connects to advertising. Do you also lately are seeing this as a good alternative to overcome expensive PPC? Like maybe given that your CPC is so high, you might say, you know what? I'm going to take some of that money. I'm going to put it in influencer marketing. I'm going to potentially get a bigger reach. And it's going to be less expensive because not a lot of people do influencer marketing. So is that something you're also seeing people doing lately? And if so, what are some of the outcomes you're seeing with that approach? Yeah.
It's a completely different type of advertising. So the way you're going to measure it is going to be so different. So with pay-per-click, you're catching people who are actually looking for your product on the second they're looking for your product. So you've got a captivated audience, right? Whereas with TikTok and paying an influencer, right, you might spend, you know, you might take a proportion of your budget and pay that influencer, but there's a whole range of things that could potentially go wrong. You know, they might put the video out and it might get no reach. Like they might not do a good of a job really conveying the product and the qualities of the product.
Yeah.
So that's the issue. Mm-hmm. It might not be a success, or you might just strike gold with the first two influencers and it absolutely skyrockets and you're like, wow, my return on ad spend is like way higher. I must then put all of my budget in, but it's not likely, you know, it doesn't mean you're going to get the same results again. It doesn't mean that, paying that a little bit more is going to equal similar results. But, you know, I mean, there was one brand, I mean, they spent $100,000 on giveaways and they were just about to give up. And then they put another video out and that basically covered and paid for everything, that all of their costs, because the product went viral on TikTok and then people were searching for the brand name on Amazon, which then increased the sales velocity on Amazon, and then it improved their ranking, and then it kind of saw an uplift in sales through Amazon. So it all had a knock-on effect. I mean, that's kind of one example of, you know, how much they had to spend to really get it to work.
I know that. I think that's what I'm seeing as well. Like a lot of times influencer marketing, given that you have some of these home runs that you hear from people around you, you might think that it's actually easy, but trust me, it's very difficult to sometimes keep, not only find the success on some of these influencers, it's keeping the success coming, because you can get one or two home runs. That's not an issue. The issue is like, it's not like traditional PPC that you build on top of data. With influencers, like every single time you start it from scratch and hoping that works, right? It doesn't have a momentum that you can start like a baseline, if you see what I mean. So it's tough to create systems, find people, sending the products. So yeah, I just wanted to highlight that because I know it's something people have been discussing a lot lately. Now to start concluding, I will say when it comes to advertising, especially in 2025, like, what are going to be some of your takes or recommendations for people watching and hearing this? Is there some insights that you're lately discussing with your team, with your clients? What are some of the things you will recommend? Yeah.
I mean, putting a lot more effort into the design of images. I mean, that's always a good place to start, because if you can, that's a place to move your budget away, right? Let's just say, you know, if you wanted to move $1,000 or $2,000 of your budget out of advertising in the short term, if you were to put that into having your listings, really well optimized and kind of really conveying well the products that you have. And if that's to kind of have an uplift in conversions, you've effectively, you know, you could be getting way more sales and way more money back for every, you know, for every ad spend. And that's going to be a good, yeah, a good place to start. So that I think that's a really good place to go. I would also just recommend, you know, even if you're working with an agency that you're comfortable with, just maybe reach out to one or two others just to get some insights. Because in the same agencies have been working on your account for some time, like, it's not that they're doing a bad job, but they could get blindsided.
Yeah, and second opinions. Yeah, and you have second opinions as well.
Just be two or three hit. Well, here's a few other things that you could do, and then you can pass it back to your agency and say, hey, I'd love to see this improved and done. I think the big thing I would also say is find out where you get your best return, your highest return, and focus on those areas and don't neglect them. But then put a small proportion of your time into finding other areas to try out and test. It's going to be my feedback in terms of what to do, in terms of what to expect. I mean, one thing I really I'm looking forward to is that Amazon's going to be introducing a multi-touch attribution this year. So that should then give you an idea of, you know, there might be one keyword that might not, you know, have had the last click to the conversion, but it played a role in that customer like viewing the product. And yeah, you've got AMC now and you've got that in place, which is great. But actually just being able to see that on the dashboard, because we had that with Google, you know, you can see, you know, a proportion of the clicks actually that may not have resulted in the sale actually did bring in customers that then eventually did end up buying. And actually them could be actually quite fatal to what you've got going. So having that idea and understanding is going to be really, really helpful.
Awesome. Thank you for that, George. I appreciate the insight. So awesome. So in case, you know, somebody wants to reach out to you, work with you guys and talk more about this, how people can find you?
Yeah. I mean, you can search my name, George Maressa, on LinkedIn. You can find me there. That's going to be probably the easiest way. Or you can go to clearadsagency.com. If you just search Clear Ads on Google, we should come up first. If it comes up all pink, it's this Australian company. It's not us. So it's clearadsagency.com. But if you search Clear Ads and you're not in Australia, we should be the first company on
top of awesome, the George. Pleasure to have you in the show and looking forward to see you soon on upcoming events. And yeah, thank you for being here. Been a pleasure.
Okay. No worries. Likewise, my friend.
Yeah. Bye-bye. See ya.
Thanks for listening to The E-Commerce Lab by Ecomsy. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. While you are at it, we would appreciate it if you could leave an honest rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen. That will make it easier for others to find out about the show and benefit from it. Want more? Visit our website at www.ecomsy.com, where you can get your first consultation for free. Or find us on Instagram, Facebook, and LinkedIn at ecomsy.